सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
वेलकम टू सोच विचार। इमरान खान्स गवर्नमेंट इज इन एंड रिफॉर्म इज इन द एयर। देर आर बिग एक्सपेक्टेशंस ऑफ दिस गवर्नमेंट, येट दिस गवर्नमेंट हैज स्टार्टेड मेकिंग एरर्स लाइक ऑल अदर गवर्नमेंट्स बिफोर। बट यू नो, सोच विचार इज नॉट अबाउट कमेंटिंग ऑन करंट इवेंट्स। वी डू स्ट्रेटेजिक थिंकिंग and we try and deal with systemic and issues as well as issues that might affect economic development of Pakistan and where the world can learn from it. So one subject that we've been approaching again and again is institutional reform, and I think the reasons are clear to everybody and I will not spell them out again. We've spelled them out in earlier episodes. One of the most important things that stops or holds back development is the lack of institutional reform. And nowhere is it more evident than in Pakistan. One of the institutions that everybody is beginning to talk about and a new committee has been formed with Ishrat Hussain is civil service reform. And we've talked to Ishrat on the issue of civil service reform. Today I'm going to take up another thinker, commentator, ex-civil servant, now a development practitioner, Hassan Khawar. He's been writing very well in newspapers recently. He's done a lot of work in many different areas. He's a consultant in high demand. And therefore, I would welcome Hassan Khawar. Welcome, Hassan.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sir. It is an honor to be on this podcast with you on a subject which is very, very close to my heart.
So, Hassan, tell us, please, why are you interested in civil service reform? You used to be a civil servant. Is it something that we should worry about? Is it something we should really devote resources to? Or is the civil service functioning very well? I could say it's functioning very well because it does maintain law and order. It does hold the system together. So let's not just say it's no good. It is holding the country together. It is capable of performing certain functions. So why are people like you thinking of civil service reform?
Doctor, my first comment would be to look at data and evidence. Mm-hmm. And the evidence, mm-hmm, which is available at a cross-country level, mm-hmm, you can look at, mm-hmm, the capability, the state capability indicators within the World Economic Forum's competitiveness index. You could look at any other set of indicators. You could look at corruption perception. Wherever you look, you will come across a brutal reality that Pakistan's ranking has been sliding down over the years, which means that the state has been failing gradually. And civil service forms the interface for any policy that has to be executed. So while I would not say that civil service has to be solely blamed for this decline, I do believe that any reversal in this trend has to come from civil service, or civil service has to play a critical role in that reversal. And that is why I feel that civil service reform should be a core priority of any government, number one. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I would use the term civil service reform in a broader context, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm, generally civil service reform, mm-hmm, is taken in the context of recruiting a civil servant, mm-hmm, training him, mm-hmm, agreeing on some performance metrics, mm-hmm, and putting in place incentives and accountability mechanisms. Mm-hmm. I will give you an analogy. Mm-hmm. So if a ship is sinking, mm-hmm, no matter how good a captain you hire, mm-hmm, how much do you pay him? Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of KPIs you set for him, he cannot prevent that ship from sinking. If you have to prevent that ship from sinking, you will have to work on the ship. So I mean that civil service reform, without rethinking the government, no matter how good your intentions are not going to give significant benefits.
So you're saying basically that because we fall low in indicators in the world, it's a matter of poor governance and civil service are partially to blame for it. But then civil service will turn around and say, hey, it's not our fault. We are holding the system together. We are trying to make the best of a bad situation because our political setup is terrible. Our politicians are not learned. Our parliament doesn't function. Our prime minister rules willfully. So they will throw the blame at the system and the politicians. Would you agree with that?
Partially, yes. I think everybody has to share the blame. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. So right now, we are talking about civil service reform. Mm-hmm. Ishrat Saab has been hired as an advisor. A task force has been formed. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that will work. Some people are saying that will not work. Mm-hmm. But at least we are having that discussion. A few months ago, when PMLN government was there, and before that, PPP was there, we were not even having this discussion. Mm-hmm. So I think the impetus has to come from the political masters. Mm-hmm. Civil service, whether a functional or a semi-functional institution, mm-hmm. will never initiate any effort to reform itself. Mm-hmm. The incentive, the direction has to come from the outside environment. Mm-hmm. But once you are there, then of course you can reform it. So I would say, yes, the blame has to be shared.
Okay. Now, the second point that you made is very interesting. You said that it has to depend on the role of the government. Elaborate on that. What do you mean? How should the civil service reform depend on the role of the government?
Okay. So I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Let's look at any service that mm-hmm. the government provides to the public. Mm-hmm. Let's say driving licenses. Mm-hmm. Now, the purpose of any licensing regime mm-hmm. should be to have some kind of quality assurance okay. system in place, right? So, and look at Pakistan's driving licensing system, where provinces year after year spend millions and billions of rupees in putting in place a system, which on paper is very similar to what other countries do. Now, the system is not delivering. If I have a driving license, that does not mean anything. I could be an excellent driver, I could be a mediocre driver, or I may not know the driving it as well. Or I could even be illiterate and I could not even read a road sign, and yet I could have that license. Now, to look at the reform process over the years in the government, you will see a lot of automation. We get computerized licensing cards. We have to be there. It has to be renewed and whatnot. Now, let's talk about civil service over the system. So you want to improve the system, you have a good functioning civil service, you bring in a person who's paid well to head this department, he has the right incentives, the right accountability mechanisms, but the system is not delivering. One guy, no matter how good he is, cannot change the whole system. So you'll have to rethink the government. What is it that the government is delivering to the citizens? And then you have to bring civil service reform on the top. And these examples are abundant.
So give me your take. How would you rethink it? How would you, let's say you were in charge of this reform. Just give us a brief idea of where you would go, how you would begin. What are the key principles that you would be thinking about in order to make this reform happen?
I would think that anyone who has sufficient appetite to reform the government should do some blue sky thinking. Mm-hmm. Incremental reform is not going to work, because the way our government has been structured and evolved over the years is a failing structure. So you know that government is a growing organism. So I have seen the mutation happening. You create one ministry, it expands, then it breaks down into two ministries. One secretary gives rise to two special secretaries, three senior joint secretaries, 10 deputy secretaries, and it's growing. And if you hire capable people there, if you pay them well, they are going to expand those organizations. So I think the first and foremost idea should be to relook at the government and identify what is really critical and then focus on that. And you have to close down the rest of these non-performing institutions, because there are scores of organizations that are not delivering anything.
So let's begin to do that now. Let's see, how would you go about, let's look at what the government is doing and let's see how we should design the civil service reform. So run through an experiment with me.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So are you going to Did you have an experiment in mind? Or?
Okay, just take, for example, you think education.
Okay. Hmm. So, okay. So when you look at education, for example, what I'm going to say is going to be politically very controversial.
Okay, go ahead.
But
please.
If you look at...
The more controversial, the better. Otherwise, we are not thinkers if we are not controversial. Go ahead.
So let's look at the schooling system. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a public schooling system and there is a private schooling system. Mm-hmm. And the people who are decision makers and who are known to the decision makers and the people who work from them have nothing to do with the public schooling system. Mm. Their children, the people who work for their children and their children, everyone goes to private schools. Mm. Now, when you go into a public school in Sindh, in KP, in other provinces, and you go and you talk to teachers, you realize that the quality of teachers is getting increasingly poor. Now, you ensure teacher's attendance. Now, someone who doesn't know enough, when you make sure that he should spend even more time with the children, I am not sure what kind of results will you get. Hmm. So is it something that the state has totally failed? Is it an area where we will be better off in investing in ensuring a regulatory mechanism where we let private sector take the lead and we gradually... So I think in terms of schooling, we need to kind of rethink our approach. Mm-hmm. That is it something where we are better off investing in a sound regulatory mechanism where we will let private sector take the lead and we have to gradually divest from the public schooling system? Or can we totally redo this? Mm-hmm. And once we have a better idea, then we have to see what kind of civil servants do we need. Do we need education managers or do we need regulators? Mm. But without thinking whether the system is delivering or not, coming up with a general cookie cutter civil service reform approach is not likely to work. Maybe it will work in some areas and it will bring some incremental improvements, but I don't think that it can really transform the country as we would have wanted it to transform.
Yeah, but Hassan, look, the problem is that we have a civil service, right? And it's a very strong, cohesive civil service. And that's a good side of it. I mean, quite frankly, it's a very strong system running down the spine of the country, right? These 300-400 people control the country very well. They start off as magistrates, become deputy commissioners. As they outgrow the local government, they become into the provincial government, they become secretaries. As they outgrow the provincial government, they become come into the federal government, become federal secretaries around the system. So in some sense, I have seen, for example, when the big flood happened in 2010, I saw the way these civil servants were able to keep the country intact. The information flows were absolutely wonderful. Because the chief secretaries knew exactly what was happening in every area, because their personnel in the districts were able to give them up-to-date information all the time. So in some sense, that's a good side of the civil service. It is capable of responding very quickly. It is cohesive. It knows what's happening. Now, when critics like you and me turn up and say, hey, get rid of the system, we have to establish a basis. Why do we want to get rid of the system? And if we want to get rid of the system, we also have to give in two or three things. We have to give reasons why we want to get rid of the system. Plus, we also have to talk about what we want to replace it with. So that's what I want to get to. I mean, the meat of the system of this podcast, I should say. What is it that we want?
Okay.
Yeah, what is it that we want and why do we want to change it? If the system is working well, it is capable of looking after floods, it is capable of managing the rabi crop, picking up wheat, providing fertilizer to people. So what's wrong with that?
Okay, there are two or three responses to this question. Mm. Yes, the state is capable of solving any one or a few problems if the state wishes to do so. And you have given an excellent example of floods, and there are other examples. Mm-hmm. We have a system which can fight dengue in a city. Mm-hmm. We have a system which can build metros and LNG power plants. Mm-hmm. So we have that capacity, or we can mobilize that capacity if we focus our attention to a few tasks. Mm-hmm. But running a country of 200 million people needs more than that. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot focus on everything. You need a fully functional system where you could entrust people with these jobs and they are working automatically and providing those services. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that when you look at civil service, I would not say that it's a very strong, functional, cohesive institution. Mm-hmm. I would say it's an institution which has many, many bright people. Mm-hmm. But how will you define an institution? An institution is where you have a group of people on an agreed purpose, and the game is played according to some set rules. And if you look at civil service history in recent years, those rules have been violated again and again. People have been given out-of-turn promotions. People have been given postings for which they did not qualify. And civil service has encroached its space on other areas. So if you look at the original system...
Okay, let me stop you for a minute here. You said people have been given out-of-turn promotions. Now, I think that happens all over the world. What's wrong with out-of-turn promotions? If, let's say, like, for example, I remember when I went to study in Chicago, there was a professor who was younger than me teaching there, and he was a full professor. He had been promoted out of turn because, hey, he was very bright. So what's wrong with the out-of-turn promotions?
What's wrong with this is that if you have a fully functional system and an objective criteria for performance management, you build a system where people are promoted based on their performance, and I think that will be an excellent system.
But by definition, that could be out of turn. Like, I remember when I was in the fund, we had Mohammed Alarian, who is now a very big name on Wall Street. Mohammed Alarian, he was also the mission chief for Pakistan. But Mohammed Alarian rose very fast in the fund. And he rose to one of the senior most positions at a very young age and out of turn with everybody else. So I think out of turn is not a bad thing, provided it is based on merit.
Yes. So if the institution's rule so desire that the performance, the promotions are going to be based on performance, whether it's someone's turn or not, and this is going to be the performance criteria, then that's fine.
Okay.
But if you insert that in a system which is based on seniority-based promotions, and then you define some subjective criteria of performance, which not all subscribe to, and then you start using that criteria selectively to promote some people and promote not others, then it will do more harm.
So you're saying the civil service has become very politicized and the political masters are using it for their own ends and use people not just for merit, but for other purposes. Fair enough. I accept that.
Yes. And there is a third problem. There's a third problem.
Go ahead.
So if you look at our legacy system, generalists who were civil servants were manning the policy positions.
Fair.
So for example, if there is a Ministry of Water and Power, that will be manned by generalists who would translate the policy desires of the political leaders into an implementation plan and ensure that it gets implemented. But the technical positions would always go to technocrats. So VAPDAs and National Highway Authorities and engineering positions were always manned by technical positions. Now, over the years, what has happened is that that differentiation has blurred. And you will come across civil servants manning technical positions. And that is why this whole debate of generalist versus technocrat has gained traction. So I think it's not just politicization, it's also encroachment of space, putting generalists in places where technocrats would have served much better. But that's the third point. So I think in a very narrow sense, you have to at least think about these issues. You have to rethink that we had a semi-functional system in which the seniority or promotion was based on seniority. There were certain policy positions which were manned by civil servants. They had a decent recruitment system. And the training was also somewhat functional at some point in time. So you could start from there. And if you really want to match with the private sector, where you have to have performance-based systems, you have to differentiate between talent, pay someone more and pay someone less, then you need to create data and you need to create objective performance metrics. So if I'm paid less or more as a civil servant, I know that that's the reason for that happening, and that will not create that frustration. And that will create a very solid foundation for performance management. But that's much easier said than done. And you would know that much better than
we will leave it there for today, because this is a much longer discussion and Hassan has many interesting points, and we will return to it with Hassan. Thank you, Hassan. All the best.
Soch Bachar ke saath, mera naam Nadeem Ul Haq hai.
Aur mera naam Anjum Altaf hai.